Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Okay, we're rolling.
Ponyo.
We're going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, rolling.
All right. Hello, food fam. This is The Walk and Talk Podcast. I am your host, Carl Fiadini. Today, we're talking COGS. That's cost of goods. Whether you're a chef or the consumer, it affects everybody. We're talking $80 cases of lettuce. We're talking 20% up on beef. It's a problem. Let's dig in. Before we do, our first sponsor, John, if you will, our first sponsor of this segment is Peninsula Food Service. And these cats are awesome. We're talking Creekstone beef, we're talking prime, we're talking 25 butchers on staff. We can do it all. I love them. If you need them, you get with me, I will connect you, and it's gonna be great. All right, folks, let's welcome Chef Jeffrey Schlissel. And he is a Walk and Talk industry contributor. Jeff, are things gonna get better? I mean, talk us off the ledge. How are we getting out of this, man?
I mean, honestly, I appreciate you inviting me back. Honestly, we see these, ups and downs like a roller coaster in our line of work. I mean, I remember 2 years ago, just as the pandemic hit, we were talking $90-something a case for chicken wings all the way up to $200+. And I would just remember saying, well, I know it's going to be this. I haven't seen it gone to this. So I kind of purposely put the pricing on my menu where I thought it was going to be legit so I could actually have a good amount of return of investment or my profitability on something. And wow, it really eroded it for almost $3 per plate that we were sending out. So it became that, do we have that necessary evil or what? And I think what the industry needs to do, because you can't take certain things away. We always have to have certain proteins. I think there are ways to go about it are looking for those, not cheap cut of meats, because cheap has that connotation of being like inferior product. I think what we need to do is get it back into some of the awful cuts. Well, not the awful cuts that we're thinking of, but off cuts like a hanger steak. Those are used to be one of those steaks that the butcher would take home because it had the most meaty flavor to it. Or doing something with a shoulder clod or a culotte or palmaño steak.
Culotte is, it's a hot piece of meat.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, anything and everything.
You can hardly get them, in fact. Mm-hmm. It's hard to come across.
Top of the top sirloin, man. It's the top of the top, you know.
Right. It's just like using the spinellis.
Yep.
You know, here's another thing. If you have beef tenderloin on your menu and you're able to switch that to being a ribeye cut in a filet style, it's 100% what you're going to be able to do as far as profitability is concerned.
True story. So check this out. I want to thank the Doubletree here at the entrance of Universal Studios here in Orlando. You know, Chef Anthony Fothergill, guy's great. He's going to be on our next segment. I just wanted to give a shout out to the gang here for letting us, you know, come and kind of take over the restaurant here to record the podcast. All right, our guest chef for this segment is Kevin Ho of Slate Restaurant here in Orlando. Chef, man, you're a badass. I want to just thank you for taking the time to, you're in your garb. You should be, you know, working, but you're here with us. And I really want to appreciate that. My question to you as you come online right now is how do you continue to create your sexy food with the pricing, with everything the way it is right now, inflation, costs are up and the whole thing? Welcome to the show, and how the hell are you going to do this?
All right. Well, thank you for having me on the podcast. It's my first time on the podcast. I know we do a lot of other things with the Walk and Talk Show family. So for us, what we really do is we like to keep our customers in the know. You know what I mean? For instance, we are a very small independent restaurant. You know, we're not corporate at all. And we have a very close connection with our clients. You know, I would like to say we're almost a neighborhood restaurant. You know, we're the first restaurant on Sand Lake Road right after you come off of Dr. Phillips Corner. And we're in a little complex with a supermarket, you know. So this is a place where you think of, oh, I'm just coming here for dinner. You know what I mean? And then you're wowed by the things that you get after that.
Yeah. So, by the way, whoever's listening, if you hear my voice and you can get to Slate in Orlando, the place is legitimately gorgeous. They dropped coin in that building.
Yeah, it's stunning.
It's stunning.
Yeah.
True story.
Beautiful decor.
So
so is the food. I mean, when you're looking at the restaurant and what your team and you were telling me off camera and off the podcast, you have to be that leader that does it. So everything has to match.
Everything.
So the food has to match the restaurant atmosphere. And you guys really do pull it off.
You know,
I mean, he's driving around with his tweezers. I'm just saying.
And spoon.
And spoon.
Flat spoon.
Flat spoon. It's everything, man. It's my everything spoon. You know, like people ask me, what's that? It's my everything spoon. You know, it's my version of the coon spoon. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's a tasting spoon. It's a plating utensil. It's a spatula. This is actually my version 2, my original one that I had a couple of years ago. We had a bet with some of my cooks, and he was saying, oh, it's not an everything spoon if it can't cut. So we took a stone and we sharpened one, and I have one in my office that's razor sharp, but obviously you can't taste off of a razor sharp blade.
We'll just be real careful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the
So
bottom.
We got another one.
MacGyvers, that's what chefs are.
Hey, man, we have fun with what we do.
So we're talking about, like, right now out of Cali, right? There's weather. There's actually some disease in the spirit of lettuces.
Yep.
So we're looking at sell price, like for you to purchase. You're into the, you know, upper 70s, low 80s, $80 for a case of romaine.
Yep.
Like, what are you doing to get around that?
So we
86.
Never. 86.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens, you know, and not to say we blame things on the supply chain, you know, but for instance, like if beef just goes through the roof one day, you know, my restaurant's flexible enough that we can change that whole menu item. You know what I mean? We can just reprint a new menu and then say, okay, this is where we're going. For something like romaine, I don't want to say it like this, but there's only so much you can charge for a piece of lettuce. You know what I mean? So there is some point where we have to eat that cost a little bit. We change the plating, we change the portion, we change the toppings, we change the salad a little bit. However, there's a hard cap on how much you can charge for a piece of lettuce.
And you legitimately cannot 86 lettuce.
You can't. You can't.
By the way, 86, for those of you out there, like, what are you talking about, 86? 86.
87?
87? 86 means, like, you're not getting it. It's taken off of the menu.
Yeah.
It's gone. Gonzo.
100% out.
Yes.
Yep. You know, and that's one of those things that we had to move our way around. One of the things that we could not, you know, maintain throughout this whole pandemic was scallops. You know, it was one of my favorite menu items. It was one of my hottest sellers, and they just went through the roof. You know, I put the scallops on the menu when they were $13 a pound for scallops. I costed them at 15, so we make more money, you know, give the, you know, the wiggle room here and there. And now they're in the 30s. Like, I can't charge for that. You know what I mean? Especially when everything else on your menu is a set price. You know, if you have entrees between $28 and $45, and then you have like a $60 plate of scallops with 6 ounces of scallops, they're going to be like, well, what's the disparity here? You know what I mean? It's you have to have some sort of financial consistency on your menu. You can't be too sporadic with it, you know?
Well, I think the other part of the equation is the audience, the people that are not involved in the restaurant industry, they think because they feel, they look at shoes, for instance, and they were like, well, that's only X amount of dollars. Well, the markup on shoes could be 125% to 300%, 400%, 800%. We can't do that. You literally legitimately can't say, I'm going to charge, you know, $40 for this chicken when pretty much you walk into Publix or whatever supermarket you're at and you're like, well, it's $6.99 or $3.99 a pound or whatever it is.
But, you know, it's funny about that specific illustration. Right now, you know, when you're talking farms, you know, whether it be fruit or veg or whatever, or livestock. So the fuel cost is high. It's up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Feed, fertilizer, all of the things that like you and me, like normal, like we're not thinking anything about that at all.
Yeah.
That is up a lot. And for a while they couldn't even get some of these things.
Yeah.
So when that price goes up at your local grocer and you see it and you're like, why is all of this happening? And then you want to go get scallops over at the, and then you can't. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
And I feel like and part of what I want to do with this podcast is I want to take these instances or these happenings and I want to kind of put it out there because I feel like everybody should be more aligned or in tune with what's happening in the market. Chef Jeffrey, we have spoken a lot about putting together a network of farmers in a specific area. Multiple areas, specific areas, and having chefs from those areas represent the farms.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
100%.
Right. Yeah. So, and then this way, the information that you're getting from the farmer who's literally hands in the soil, that information is going to be given to you, pipeline to you, chef.
Yep.
And then you, of course, we're going to take that and you're going to feed your patrons. Yep. With the information, right? So that's kind of, you know, I think that's something that we're in the infancy stages of working on, but that's coming. Yeah. And I know you're down.
And you see,
I don't know what chef wouldn't be down for that. I mean, if they're not down exactly. for it, they should get out of their industry.
Yeah, like one of the biggest things that we like to do as an American restaurant is we like to educate people on American food. You know what I mean? I had a conversation with the owner of the restaurant once when we were breaking through the menu, and he was looking at one of my snapper dishes that we had. So it was a cornmeal fried snapper with a farro hopinjon and a red eye gravy, and it's a tomato chutney or a tomato jam, I believe. And he was just like, well, what is hopinjon and what is red eye gravy? And I'm like, this is American food. You know what I mean? And where do you go to learn about American food if not an American restaurant? You know what I mean? A lot of people go to American restaurant and it's halfway a Japanese sushi restaurant. You know what I mean? Like we very much focus into the seasonality and the history of American food, and being local and seasonal is a huge part of that. You know, so working with these farms, you know what I mean, is really huge for me, you know. And if it's a situation where we're paying more for quality based on a local farm, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm not okay with just paying more for not much better, you know, from a commodity product. You know, if right. I'm investing my money into an $82 case of romaine from Carl himself, you know, and he gave it to me and said, hey man, it's awesome. You know what I mean? Or it's a little bit more leafy because, you know, the days have been getting longer or whatever the situation is. It keeps me updated and we have that relationship and we can, you know, I have the flexibility to change my menu based on his produce. It's everything.
Right.
It's really everything.
You know, like even your non-commodity, you know, beef and everything, it's almost up 20%, right? I'm not talking about like, hey, you know, somebody who takes extra special care of the animals, the whole, the treatment, the process, the whole nine yards, it's up a lot. Yeah. But you know what? You're getting a better experience. I just want to touch on something. You said red-eye gravy. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That must be Southern. Pasta tomato sauce, right?
Is No, we're not going down that. No.
He did.
No.
He said gravy, Jeff. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I can't believe we're going down this.
By the way, no, I just had to bring it up because, by the way, it is sauce.
Gravy.
It's sauce. Gravy. Red sauce gravy. On a sundae.
So
red sauce.
For me, a gravy would be a sauce made with a stock-thickened flour or a roux. You know what I mean? And that's my essence of a gravy. You take the pan, you know, you deglaze the fond, blah blah blah, and that's a gravy.
Yeah, but when do you put the meatballs and the ribs? Like, when do you do that?
But here's the thing. What about beurre blanc?
Sauce, straight of sauce. it's a sauce. I feel
all right. Just wanted to throw that out.
You
there.
Know, it's a mounted sauce. You know, you add the butter at the end. You're you're adding viscosity.
You know, moments ago. When we introduced Chef Kevin, he mentioned that he's done stuff with Walk and Talk. Chef has a show. It's a branded show. It's Restaurant Recipes with Chef Kevin Ho. There's still episodes coming out. We're going to film again very soon. I just want to make sure everybody's aware of this. So Walk and Talk, we do a podcast, which you're listening to right now. We have two other programs, video. It's a streaming and internet TV, all about food, all about chefs, all about cocktails. One of them is called Restaurant Recipes. That's with you, Chef. Yep. The other streaming show is the Dirty Dash Cocktail Hour, which we also film at Slate. Hey man, your phone's on. So
that's you.
That's me. Okay.
Yeah, it's right on your microphone.
Man, it's always me.
Just no F-bombs.
So we appreciate what you're doing with the show with us. And our fourth component is the Restaurant Life magazine. So what we are, you know, we just recently kind of found out what our DNA is, right? And, you know, ultimately, we are a food industry media operation. And we are here to help promote everything that is food. So that is the chef to the farm. We're doing some collaborations with an interesting, this guy's amazing, Patrick Kelly, over at the Produce Industry Podcast. He really focuses on farm produce stuff, you know, from the ground. We're doing a lot of stuff together, and I want everybody to kind of keep an eye on kind of where we're coming from here, right? Because I feel like with you, Kevin, people need to know who you are. They need to get this. You cook insane, not just it eats amazing, but it's beautiful. Yeah. So I feel everybody should know what you do.
Hell yeah. You know, I support that statement. You know, we really put the love into what we do. I tell everybody all the time, it starts with love. You know what I mean? If you skip the love, just skip it all together, because the customer experiences that. And we work in an open kitchen environment, so they see everything that you're going through.
You don't hide anything.
No, we can't hide everything. And, you know, if it gets bad, I will get upset right there on Expo, because it's my expectation of quality. You know what I mean? I need to know that things are going out into the restaurant, the dining room, to my standard, you know, because they're cooking under my name. And as you said, like, if they need to know me, then they need to know what I can do. I'm only as good as what I can train my team to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not just about, you know, what I can do, but what they can do, you know, and what I can.
How do you reprimand? So I, you know, I'm from the business, right?
Oh God.
And I've never worked in an open. I've never worked in an open air, open kitchen.
Yep.
So how do you reprimand in that scenario? Like, what do you do? You got to bite your tongue, you kick them under the thing. Like, what do you do? Shock collars, like an electric button. Like, what do you do?
So I'm gonna be 100% honest with you.
Lie to me.
I was raised.
You tell me the truth.
Man. Yeah, I was raised in like European ish kitchens, you know. So I'm from Antigua, and the majority of the hotels and resorts that are in the island are run by like European or English chefs. You know what I mean? There's not too many American chefs, not too many Caribbean chefs running these properties.
They'll put their hands on you.
Yes.
Yes, they were.
Yes. Yes. I've, you know, many times, you know, things have been thrown at me or whatever. And you know, I don't want to be that chef. You know, I quickly realized what type of chef I wanted to be. And I didn't want to be, you know, that guy just poking at people for no reason. You know, like, I don't micromanage at all. I kind of live by a phrase that my mother told me a long time ago, you know, it's like you give people enough rope to hang themselves, you know, so you have full blown opportunity to do everything. And then that makes me aware of who you are as a person because of the way you think. And then I will make decisions based upon that. Or, you know, in terms of reprimandation, though, it depends on the scenario. You know what I mean? If it's just a simple little situation, we'll say, stop, you know, take your time. We'll talk about it later and we'll do with everything super, you know, by the book, corporately, if you'd like to say.
Privately is what the word he was looking for.
Private. In the walk-in.
In the walk-in.
In the walk-in talk.
That's, you know? Exactly. Yeah. That's, you know, that's where the reprimands happen.
If it gets out of hand, no, we will not tolerate any of it.
The gauntlet comes down.
Yep.
Yeah, the chef comes out. And you know, the Hulk? Right. You know, when Peter Bannister turns, that's when we turn into the Chef Hulk.
Wow. It's full blown, this is a problem right here, you know, everybody knows. Because you're in the restaurant, you know, and it's part of a real restaurant, man.
That would be entertaining for me.
Oh yeah, because you're part of the industry.
Well, no, not only that, just people, it's, you know, when you're open kitchen, you can't hide things. When there's Brio, for instance, Brio Tuscan Grill. I opened that one up in, Palm Beach, open kitchen. And I had this one cook, and I know him. I have his face right now. And good Lord, we would get into it all the time on the line, and I would just give the look. And you know the look open your mouth one more time, see what's going to happen, kind of look, and that kind of shuts it down too. I think, and you pointed out, Chef, is the industry has to change.
Yeah.
And we can't be the chefs that are going to be the ones that are going to do the same as was done to us.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're an up-and-coming chef, you're thinking about getting into line cook and being in this industry, realize, you have to have some really tough skin. And unfortunately for women, you definitely have much thicker skin you need to do it.
I want to quickly touch on that topic. Yeah. And the best parts about my kitchen is that we're very diverse. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
I have a lot of women cooking in my kitchen. I have 4 or 5 women who cook in my kitchen, and that's pretty much half of my team. You know, one of the things I like to go out and do is, you know, when I'm hiring people, I like to hire women not just because they're women. One, it breaks the quota a little bit, and then two, they're a little bit more detail-oriented. You know what I mean?
I mean, as far as I can tell, I'm in a lot of different kitchens these days. I think that's shattered.
I really don't, because you've got to think about it. Look at the Me Too movement. Me Too movement was only 2 years ago, and you had John Pesh and Mario Batali who got caught in the hand in the cookie jar. So it has been going on for so long, and there are still, like, during the pandemic, I had my own podcast that I was only specifically talking to women at first because that was the height of the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
And the stories some of these young women were telling me fresh out of culinary school. I have one, we're talking about work-life balance, mental health and all that. And one of them worked for a major culinary school, and she was like, I felt really guilty about taking time off. Because I didn't want to get punished. Well, and her boss was a female too. We're talking major culinary that was going to be doing something for an American Culinary Federation. All right. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, you can't go and have a PTO and get paid by the ACF. I was like, wait a minute. She's representing your school for what she does. What's the problem here? So there's still not the sexual orientation. I guarantee you there still is out there. I mean, that was the guy for Scientology. Never mind. But there's still out there. It goes on in the restaurant industry.
I'm thinking that there's probably a ways to go, but I mean, it's come a long way too. And that's kind of what I was getting at. When I say shattered, it's not uncommon or looked, you know, strangely upon when you walk into a kitchen and there's a female chef. As a coming from a sales perspective, makes no difference.
No,
where maybe 20 years ago you're like, oh man, what is this? Because you didn't know what to expect. Not that there's anything wrong with it; you just didn't know what to expect, right?
Well,
but And I don't want to get too deep in on that.
No, no. I want to get back to the conversation about pricing.
Correct, right? So because
let's talk about gloves.
No.
I get you a good deal on gloves.
$19 at Amazon.
I think. Best gloves
only.
From Hive. Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, so when you're talking about increase in price point, and you have to weigh it against a company that is giving exceptional service, the pricing is what it is. Quality is where it's got to be, but that service level kind of takes them over the line.
For me, every time.
Right?
Like, I say it all the time to pretty much every new vendor that walks into my space. It's, I do business the old-fashioned way. You take care of me, I take care of you. And that's how it goes because all you guys sell me the same stuff. And they look at me like, you know, like completely confused. I'm like, that's what it is, guys. I'm not.
Not all vendors, though, because if we get this thing going with the farm, you'll be dealing directly with the farmers for a lot of stuff.
And that's okay with me. If I'm dealing directly with the person producing the item, that's even better for me. You know?
Because the reason being, because you know exactly where it is.
So the idea is to take, it's taking the smaller operations. So you have your farm.
Yeah.
And then you have your, you know, small to mid-size, you know, distribution house, whatever the category is. And you're taking the product from the farm and you're feeding it through these smaller channels who they, by the nature of the people who run these establishments, are going to treat you a little bit differently because there aren't 6,000 clients.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot less. Yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, Chef Kevin is like, no, I gotta. Oh, we were short on XYZ. Doesn't matter. I gotta make sure that guy gets what he gets.
Yeah.
So that phone call isn't like, well, sorry, chef, it's gonna be next week. Well, next week, I mean, I'm out of business next week.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do here, right? So I'm looking at it in that perspective, and it's a triple win or a trifecta win, because you're helping the farm, you're helping the distributors, and of course the chefs and your guests, your clientele. Are seeing the end result of it.
Yeah. Which is a better product.
Which is a better product.
And that, you know, that's...
And your price point might, you know, oh, it's your costs definitely are go up.
We already saw that when we went to the farms.
Better food is better food every time.
We know that. But the problem is when the common person is going to their supermarket and seeing, you know, $5.49 for pork and you have it on the menu for X and they're going, well, wait a minute, here's the deal.
Remember, my restaurant's next to a supermarket, right. so it's even worse.
So here's where it even gets worse. When people buy things, right? What kind of cell phone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Right. You have an iPhone too, Carl, right? I have an iPhone. Do you go into Apple and go, hey, I want that new 14, 128 gig for $60. They're going to tell you what?
No.
Yeah, go pound rock. But yet in our restaurant, they come in and be like, that's too expensive. Why do you charge this? They don't realize everything that goes on behind the scenes that when you buy local, you're buying local from a farmer that has passion for what they're doing. And that passion's not raising those animals. I thought that. And only too recently when I started interviewing some farmers, they're soil farmers, whether they're growing produce or they're raising livestock. Yep. What they're farming is the land. Soil. It's the land. And and that's what we have to look at. How are they treating that land? What are they feeding the land? So that inevitably what they're putting into the animals' bodies or the produce is what's going in our bodies.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing as a chef, because you know that outcome at the end of the day, it's going to be XYZ, not ABC.
Yeah.
The commodity product, you're not getting that.
Not at all.
So just to wrap this up, I think we touched on a lot of good points on it.
Gravy.
Sauce. But all right, anyway, so... chef, I think that, you know, what you do, and I want, you know, I'm going to let you, you know, put a call to action to whoever is listening to this to come check you out at the restaurant.
Yeah, please do.
People will see it before we do, cause I'm going to let you take us out. Right. Jeffrey, you have a 501(c).
Yep.
We have pop-up dinners like all over the country coming up here. John, if you could put the SOS.
Literally the SOS logo.
Literally, you know, yes, help. No. So if you can kind of go into that real quick and.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So the SOS is sharing our stories. It's chefshelpingchefs.org is the organization's website. It was started in June of 2018 because of mental health and Chef Bourdain committing or completing suicide. It made me realize that with my own mental health issues and my suicide attempt when I was 18, that I needed to do something and started talking. A buddy of mine named Keith Saracen, who's a cookbook author as well, we merged together with another gentleman named Art Letta, who's a chef out of Chicago. We kind of developed this morph into 2022. We're sitting on the couch wondering if, God forbid, Hurricane Ian was going to be a direct hit to Tampa or not. Once we knew it wasn't, I picked up the phone and started calling friends. I had friends up in West Virginia that were also from Florida that did the same thing and called me and said, what are you doing? I said, let's collab. So we started an organization called Hospitality United Group on November 18th. Actually, the week of November 14th to November 20th, we're asking all caterers, hotel operators, restaurateurs, any private chef to donate some or part of their proceeds or all their proceeds. We would love that to the organization, because here's the thing. We're helping out a local organization out of Louisiana. I know I just said local. What she's doing, and I just got this text on the way over here today, she's got a 12th trailer going over to a section of Hispanics that were kind of not known that they were there, and they're getting the help they need right now because Amy Sins and her development of Fill the Needs.
Did you say 12th?
12th.
That's amazing. That's she was on our, she called in on our first episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. Like, you know, she was helping people come out of Afghanistan.
Wow.
Yeah, she's an amazing person, and when this gets posted, I'll link to her website and all that. But we have an event coming up
on November 18th over at Marvin's Farm.
Yep,
Cahaba Club. He's a micro farmer here, and he's just amazing. Not only is he an amazing dude, his product is amazing. So November 18th, we have three chefs that are scheduled to come out. One is a Native American chef from South Dakota that's going to be doing some game meat. Another one is a mushroom farmer who turned mushroom farmer now. He was in the last podcast, Seth Gravy, and he'll be doing his vegan crab cake that he's going to be rolling out. Awesome. We have Christopher Jubilee, who's a chef over in Country Club in Fort Myers. Okay. Then we have our buddy over at Sucre in Tampa, yep. Brenda. Mm-hmm. She's going to be doing dessert.
That's Brenda Villacorta.
Yeah, yeah, and who's also on Cake Wars that you didn't know. Uh-huh. I got to go get my autograph.
Hanging out there like that.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't believe, and you didn't even know.
When are we? When am I meeting? Which is Saracen?
Oh, Keith is coming in soon. When it gets too cold in New Hampshire, he's coming in February.
You know, you keep teasing me.
Yeah, you know we can do a Zoom call with him.
I'll get him put up somewhere.
All right, that'd be cool. I'll let him know. But
all right. So how do people find your?
So on the website, it's going to be chefshelpingchefs.org, and then we also have Hospitality United Group is actually having their website roll out too with all the information.
And once all this is done, I'm going to connect it to my website, which is www.thewalkintalk.com. We're going to have dates and everything posted for all of this.
Greg. Yeah. Ticket sales are $125. If you can't make it, we have non-sales. So if you're in another state, you want to donate, you want to help out, you can have a non-seat.
And you're saying that like 1% of the proceeds?
No, 100%.
100%. Okay. 100%. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. 100% going to where it has to go,
yep.
Which is not into anybody's pocket.
No. And it's funny, not funny. Ironically, when I found out about Courtney yesterday, the chef, he
Tom
did
Tarone
not...
with sports.
See, we... Yeah. There we go.
That's funny. It's when he hears this later. quick story. Tom was one of my best sales guys, right?
And he's got this really outgoing personality. And when I'd be like, hey, it's Tom Tyrone with sports. Because he's got that name and that kind of personality. So that's I have him on my phone as Tom Tyrone with sports. So he's going to get a kick out of this.
Well, just want everyone to know that before we go live, we always hear, turn your phones on vibrate, turn your watches on vibrate. And it was said four times.
My phone is on vibrate, but my phone is connected to our software right now because we, in case somebody was going
to
call in.
That's why you need the iPad.
I should have answered the phone. Yeah, damn it, I should have just answered the phone.
You should have.
Ah, Lord, man.
Just to finish up on the the November 18th, we're going to have a max of 9 different chefs, so it's 9 different courses as well.
Okay.
And like you said, 100% go to not only people in the service industry, but actually the farmers. So Courtney, who I found out yesterday, had a food trailer, and when he went to go get insurance, he was told, don't worry, you don't need flood insurance. So Ian, now everyone knows, you need flood insurance. He has nothing. He lost his livelihood. And he is actually Native American, like I said, and the reason why I state that is he wants to donate one of his tomahawks for the silent auction.
Oh, wow.
So I think that was just amazing. That's
generational, I'm sure.
Like, definitely. He has a website that he does his Native American art, and he does it himself. I think it's just commendable that he wants to donate the cause.
Man. That's so cool.
And that's what we do.
Even though he lost everything, he still wants to donate. That's amazing.
But that's what we do.
Yes.
You know, helping. That's the chefs helping the community, you know?
Yeah. All right. So listen, Jefferson, I can't wait for that. And I'd like to meet him as well. Maybe even have him on the show. That would be terrific.
If
we could put that together.
I'm going to be at Circle C next week. Maybe I can do something. We'll swing a day down.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Before we jump into that, if you could put the music on, Maestro, Chef Kevin's going to take us out. Kevin, why are we going to go see you at Slade? Who the hell are you? What?
So, first of all, I'm the man. You know what I mean? I just want to put it that way. We make the most beautiful food. We make the most American food. We want to be that restaurant that really showcases American food in a modern sensibility with, you know, modern ideas, with a real European, Caribbean background. You know, that's my trained cookery and, you know, classical background. You know, I'm from an island. You know, my parents are from my island. My parents' parents are from an island. So it's very generational with a lot of flavor behind us. So we're here to take over the city. We're shooting for stars. We want everything, you know?
All right.
Good
listen,
for you, Chef.
Chef Jeffrey, Chef Kevin, I appreciate you guys being here today. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. I am your host, Carl Fiadini. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful day. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.